U.S. Catholic bishops from the New England region are in Rome this week for their ad limina visits. During the course of their busy schedule Monday, the Bishop of Burlington, Vermont, Salvatore Metano, made time to speak with Chris Altieri about a number of issues facing the bishops, including the way the multi-ethnic composition of U.S. society is shaping the Church, about the Church's contribution to the ongoing debate in the U.S. about the role of religion in public life, and about the bishop's response to the call for a new evangelization.
Well, those who have come from other countries often come with a deep faith, so they really are an enrichment to the Church, and in some ways they are revitalizing the faith that at times we may take for granted. Often they come from countries that are under persecution, and their faith has been a great strength to them in dealing with these persecutions. And so they come to us with a faith that is alive and contributes greatly, not only to the Church, but to society in general. In Vermont, we don't have the same high percentage of immigrants as do the other New England dioceses. But at the same time, we do have people who come to us from Africa, from the Philippines, from Vietnam. We have at the Co-Cathedral Parish, where I live, a community from Burundi, and a priest comes and celebrates Mass for them in Kurundi. And again, they are very demonstrative of their strong Catholic faith. And as you know, that people has suffered greatly in recent years.
In the United States, the country is going through one of its periodic public conversations about the role of religion in public life. How does the Church approach the question?
Well, I think we approach it as those who believe in Jesus, and we believe that the gospel that Jesus has given to us and the proclamation of that gospel is life-giving. So we don't view what Jesus teaches as an obstacle to freedom, but rather a freedom that endures forever and is not locked into a particular culture, a particular ideology, or a particular time, but it honors the freedom of every person, which comes to us first from God because he calls us his sons and his daughters. And in baptism, he makes us a part of his own family. So the dialogue between religion and the political sphere, religion and the medical sphere, religion and the educational sphere, the dialogue of religion in all aspects of culture is really to uplift these cultures and to give us a perspective that reaches beyond any human perspective. Theology being grounded in the person of Jesus Christ is very much related to a continuum of life that continues after this life. We refer to the Church as a pilgrim church, a church that is constantly on the move, working toward its eternal home in the New Jerusalem. So we see what we have to offer as not being in any way an obstruction, but truly a leaven for society.
And, Your Excellency, if I could a little more directly, what would you say to someone who doesn't share that vision, who perhaps, as some voices in the public square suggest and more than suggest, that a too strong, too vocal, too explicit Catholic or Christian presence in the public square is a threat to ordered liberty?
Well, I think if we look at the Gospels, Jesus did not always have the most receptive of listeners as well, but he had an extraordinary patience. Jesus was becoming more precise and more challenging in his teaching, going on and says, as I have fed you bread for the human journey, I will give you my own body and blood for food for eternity, food for the soul. And as that teaching became more challenging, they began to drift away. Did he give up? No. He proceeded on to Calvary to give himself completely. And I also look at the way of the cross. We read he fell three times. More importantly, he picked himself up three times. And he continued on that journey to Calvary until the mission the Father had given to him was completed. The robes of a bishop are red. That's not to be colorful. That reminds us that we are even to lay down our own lives for the faith that we proclaim. And in doing that, we recognize the image of Jesus. So we do. We go forth in charity, in patience, with kindness, but also with a firm commitment to proclaim that gospel as it unfolds in daily life.
The church is also present through her many corporal works of mercy in healthcare, in education. There have been some challenges to the church's ability to do this work and to be present to society in this way. Could you talk with us a little bit about those and how the church is going about addressing them?
Well, you're quite correct. When our brothers and sisters first came to the shores of America, they came with two articles, their faith and their love for family, which contributed to the growth of the church in the United States. And one of the first things that was done before churches were even built was to erect schools to educate the young people in the faith. And we want to continue that mission because the bishop is the chief teacher of the diocese. He's the first teacher, but he can't teach alone. Everyone must share in that teaching, beginning with the parents who are called the first and the best teachers of their children in the ways of the Christian life, then aided by our Catholic schools, our religious education programs, and the many dedicated teachers who are a part of that program. What we are asking in our country, which is a place where freedom is prized, is for the freedom to teach what we must teach and to do it uninhibited, and that our people, because of their dignity as citizens, should have their rights respected. And among the right of a parent is the right for that parent to choose how they wish to educate their child. And for our people, educating a child is not compartmentalized. It is a holistic education that involves mind, body, soul, and spirit. And for many of our people, that's the reason they choose a Catholic school, a Catholic grammar school, a high school. And it is because they want the values of the gospel to be shared with their children. And because they are exercising their right, they should not be penalized for it. They have the right to choose their education. So what the church is doing is simply trying to recognize the inherent rights that exist within our people as citizens of the United States.
One more question, Your Excellency, and it involves the new evangelization, something that's very dear to our Holy Father. The United States is a very interesting case study. It's an interesting field for this. It seems that quite apart from having a short history temporally with respect to Europe, things seem to be sped up, if you will, in the United States. We go through rapid periods of rekindling of fervor that now we seem to be on the other side of the pendulum with a swing toward a model of secularization that would, again, exclude the faith from the public square reduce its scope in the lives of individuals. How does the new evangelization programmatically, and how do you plan in your diocese, and how are the bishops thinking about how to use this new imperative, this imperative to the new evangelization, to effect, to address this phenomenon?
We have been blessed with the most practical instrument of implementation for the new evangelization, with the new implementation of the Roman Missal, third edition, which will take place in the United States on the first Sunday of Advent. Who we are as Roman Catholics is identified by our participation in the Eucharist, which is the strength for all that we do and for all our apostolates. But it's not just a new translation that we're introducing. It's a whole new revitalization, of the transcendent nature of Christ coming to us, the same Christ of the Last Supper, the same Christ of Golgotha, the same Christ of the Transfiguration and Resurrection. That Christ comes to us at every Eucharist. And what we're trying to do now is revitalize the faith of the people to recognize in that Eucharist the promise of Christ being kept so perfectly. No, I am with you always until the end of time. Unless we recognize Christ, know who he is, and truly unite ourselves to him, the rest will just be words. Why would one listen to a teaching of a person to whom they were not attached? To whom do we give credence? We give credence to people that we know, people we respect, people we love. The new evangelization is simply proclaiming Christ as Savior and inviting our people to come and to know him. Once they know him, once they love him, once they understand him, then they will accept his message. Without that personal relationship with Jesus, we simply have words without a foundation. So the new implementation of the Roman Missal will elevate our minds and our hearts, please God, to the Lord, and also be an opportunity, which I constantly am saying in my own diocese, come back home to those who are estranged from the church in any way. Please come home. Not because I'm asking you, but because one whom I only serve in humility said, unless you eat the bread of life and eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. It's an invitation to life. That's what the new evangelization is all about.